Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda
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 Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
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 Chapter 12 The Cleansing of the Gundicha Temple In his Amrita Bhava Bhashya, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur summarizes this chapter as follows. The king of Orissa, Maharaj Prataparuda, tried his best to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Nityananda Prabhu and the other devotees informed the Lord about the king's desire, but Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not agree to see him. At that time, Sri Nityananda Prabhu devised a plan, and he sent a piece of the Lord's outward garment to the king. The next day, when Ramananda Roy again entreated Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to see the king, the Lord, denying the request, asked Ramananda Roy to bring the king's son before him. The prince visited the Lord, dressed like a Vaishnava, and this awakened remembrance of Krishna. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered the son of Maharaj Prataparuda. After this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu washed the Gundicha temple before the Rath Yatra took place. He then took his bath at Indrajumna Lake, and partook of prasadam in the garden nearby. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu washed the temple of Gundicha, a Gaudiya Vaishnava washed the lotus feet of the Lord and drank the water. And this incident is very significant, for it awoke within the devotee ecstatic love. Then the son of Advaita Prabhu named Gopal fainted during kirtan, and when he didn't come to his senses, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu favored him by awakening him. There was also some humorous talk between Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Prabhu during prasadam. Advaita Prabhu said that Nityananda was unknown to anyone and that it was not the duty of a household of Brahmana to accept dinner with a person unknown in society. In answer to this humorous statement, Sri Nityananda Prabhu replied that Advaita Acharya was a monist, that one could not know how his mind could be turned by eating with such an impersonalist. The conversation of these two Prabhus, Nityananda and Advaita Prabhu, carried a deep meaning that only an intelligent man can understand. After all, the Vaishnavas finished their lunch. Sarup, Damodara, and others took their prasadam within the room. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took great pleasure when he saw the Jagannath deity after the period of retirement. At that time, Lord Chaitanya was accompanied by all the devotees, and all of them were pleased. So Lord Chaitanya had made a tour of South India, and upon completing that tour of South India, the king of Orissa, Maharaj Prataparuda, was very eager to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I am a sannyasi, a renunciant. It is not my business to deal with people from this world. And a king of all people gets involved in all kinds of things. Kings, they deal with politics. Kings, they have so many opulences and facilities. Kings and so many ladies and this and that, and that is the life of kings. It's like, He says, Sannyasi has nothing to do with this, therefore I will not see this king. I don't want to see any king. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu simply wanted to see Krishna and Krishna's devotees. He wanted to spend all his time with pure meditation and have no distraction at all. So why would he see a king? But the king had a great desire to see him, and of course the king was actually a devotee at heart, and still Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not see him. So all the other associates who were around the king, including Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was his preceptor, his spiritual master, all of them desired that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would see the king. But systematically, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu kept refusing. And when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and asked him to see the king, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu basically said that, better I leave this place. Better I leave from here, and if you all desire this, then that's your good right, you know, to express your desires. But I have my duties and I will leave from here. So then everyone was, no, please don't do that. It's okay. It's like, you know, we understand. We respect your desire. And in this way, no one could convince Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to see the king. The king, meanwhile, was in great distress. But from a distance, worshipping Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, here this miracle is happening in his own capital. It is happening right there. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is there. And the king said, I am the most unfortunate person upon the entire planet. Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will bestow his mercy upon everyone, upon the most fallen, except upon one person named Maharaj Pratapuruja. So, in this way, the king was like in great despair. One day, the governor of Orissa, named Ramananda Roy, he came. He came to the king and he said, I want to retire from government services. The king said, oh, you want to retire? Why? He said, I want to join the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The king just got off the throne and embraced him. He said, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. I will pay you double the salary. You know, you give up your... You retire, and I will pay you double your salary, like, so that during this retirement there will be no problem at all. And the king was so pleased with this. And actually, Ramananda Rai was a dear devotee of the Supreme Lord. So because the king was bestowing this kindness upon the dear devotee of the Lord, the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was becoming unavoidable. Practically speaking, how could the Lord avoid one who was acting in such a favorable way? And still, he was saying no. So then Nityananda devised this plan to send the prince. The prince had a darkish complexion, lotus eyes, and long arms, and he was dressed in a yellowish dhoti. So when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw that prince, he just remembered Krishna. And he embraced him. And as he embraced him, the prince became invested with love of God. And as the prince just suddenly transformed and became totally ecstatic, his father at a distance could see the transformation. So his father became ecstatic. So when the son returned to his father, then the father was so happy to see that his son had become a great devotee that he embraced him. And then that love that was now in the prince hit Maharaj Pratapuruta like a wave. So in this way, the prince was like like a messenger of the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and carrying his transcendental ecstasy. So in the background of the Rati Yatra, this pastime of Maharaj Prataparuda is taking place. Somehow or other, it is a parallel pastime. In the front, everything is being prepared for Rati Yatra. In the front, all the arrangements are being made and everyone is full of expectation. But Maharaj Prataparuda is denied the mercy of the Lord. But it is at Rati Yatra that things change. First of all, the king voluntarily, on his own accord, decided to render service to the Lord, to establish for all that he was not just the ruler of Puri, the master of Puri, the king. Here comes the king. Everyone bow down to the king. You know. His Majesty the King is passing here. Bow. No, the king himself came in great humility. The king swept the road before the chariot of Lord Jagannath. That act, which came from his heart, which was not protocol, now it has become institutionalized. Some dignitary before Rati Yatra sweeps the road to commemorate what actually Maharaj Prataparuda spontaneously implemented. From his heart, he stepped down from his royal position and became a sweeper. That is the lowest. Sweepers, low class. But as a sweeper, he swept the road for the Lord, saying yes. Showing herewith, I am a servant. I am just a servant of the Lord and nothing else. So this finally invoked the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then as the Rati Yatra progressed and as the chariot approached the Gundicha temple, and the chariot came to the Jagannath Vallabha Gardens, which are representing Vrindavan. It is said there, Lord Jagannath, he looked left. To a Brahmin village. And then he looked right at the Jagannath Vallabha Gardens.
Just see the eyes moving.
So, in those gardens, Lord Chaitanya rested. In those gardens, all the devotees rested. In those gardens, endless quantities of prasadam were being served. Jagannath Mahaprasad. And then, after fully satisfying themselves, all the devotees took some rest. It was at that time that Maharaj Prataparuda, dressed in common clothes, came and massaged the legs of the Lord while reciting the Gopi Gita, the entire Gopi Gita. So that Sri Vrindavan, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was in his mood of Vrindavan at the time, was hearing appropriate descriptions of Vrindavan. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by hearing this recitation, became totally ecstatic and just blessed and embraced the speaker without understanding who he was. And in this way, externally, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu kept his resolve not to meet the king. As a sannyasi, no, he would not meet a king. But then, in ecstasy, he embraced the king. And in this way, Maharaj Prataparuda got the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Maharaj Prataparuda later on would act as a servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is said that sometimes Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was, there were huge crowds, and then the devotees made different rings around him. First Kashishwar and Nityananda, who were like, the god brothers and seniors. And then followed the general devotees who made a ring. And then the most external ring was made by Maharaj Prataparuda and his men. And in this way, they were all somehow or other protecting Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu according to their relationship, according to protocol. Of course, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had an intimate relationship with each one of them because he had entered the heart of them. But externally, there was a certain etiquette that was being observed, because that is the way of the dealings of the Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas, they deal through etiquette, because each Vaishnava is always taking that position of servant. And just in case that there is a trace of material contamination remaining, a trace of pride remaining, just in case of that, there is Vaishnava etiquette. Even for those great devotees, just in case. Because I was quoting from the Priti Sandarbha about Lakshmi Devi the other day, because that's the book I'm reading at the moment. And there, in that Priti Sandarbha, Lakshmi started to describe how none of the demigods had all the good qualities that Krishna had. Yeah. And then Jiva Goswami comments, Lakshmi comments, that actually nobody has all the qualities of Krishna. Everyone has some fault, something. Whereas Krishna is completely faultless, absolutely perfect. He has all perfect qualities in full. Of course, I mentioned also that evening, Srila Prabhupada, and I'd like to say, Sarva Mama Gunadan Vaishnava Sarira, all the good qualities of Krishna manifest in the body of a Vaishnava. Still, Krishna is unique. So it was pointed out in Vaijiva Goswami. So therefore, every devotee is bound by Vaishnava etiquette. When Jagadananda Pandit was advising Sanatana Goswami, Sanatana Goswami was by far his senior, but Sanatana Goswami got some advice from Jagadananda, and later Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu found out, and he said, "Who does this Jaga think he is? Jaga is just a boy, you know what I mean? We called him Jaga. Who does Jaga think he is, you know what I'm saying? Just a boy. And who is he to instruct you? Even I am taking advice from you. What to speak of him? You are on the level of acting as his spiritual master. Who is he to advise you?" So in that way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then he said, I'll never accept a service from anyone who does not adhere to the Vaishnava etiquette. So that etiquette is there. And we always take that position just in case. So amongst Vaishnavas, the spirit is always, there is a hierarchy. In the world, everything is about, we are all equal, you know what I mean? I'm as good as you are, you know what I mean? Are you any better than me, pulling down, the arrogant bastard, I'm as good as he is. Yes. That spirit is very strong in the world. demanding our equality.
The French Revolution.
Oh yes. Equalité, fraternité, liberté. Ah, oui. Yes. Coupe la terre. And the tricoteurs are also there knitting. Anyway, whatever there was, the French Revolution. And they told Marie Antoinette, the people, they have no bread. And she said, let them eat cake. No wonder her head rolled after that. what can be said? But égalité was the agenda. Equality, that was the agenda. So that revolutionary spirit is there. And on the spiritual platform, we are equal. Pandita Samadhar Srinaha. Vijavinaya Samtane Brahmi Gavani Hasti. Sunichaya Swapakecha Pandita Samadhar Srinaha.
A wise person sees with equal vision.
A dog eater, a cow, an elephant, a brahmana. He sees all equal. Because he sees that within each there is the same spirit soul. That is there. So in this way, in general, yes, Pandita Samadarsina, we see equal. But amongst Vaishnavas, no. Amongst Vaishnavas, there is a hierarchy. We know different Vaishnavas. Different Vaishnavas are serving, are more advanced in their service to Krishna. A senior in their position, senior by initiation, senior by years, senior by service, they have seniority, or senior by their love, that also, yes. Like one of my favorite stories is from Brihad Bhagavatamrita about Hanuman, and that at one point Narada Muni is looking for the greatest devotee. And he has come to Hanuman and he says, oh Hanuman, Hanuman, you are the greatest devotee. Oh Hanuman, you are by far so dear to the Lord. He said, you are very close and dear to the Lord. You are the greatest recipient of the Lord's mercy. And Hanuman says, stop, stop, stop. Oh Narada, how can you say such a thing? Think of it like this. When Lord Ramachandra left the planet, all of Ayodhya went back to Godhead, except me. Everyone went, except me. How am I the greatest, you know? They all went, they were all the greatest. I was the troubled one, I was the one who was lacking, that's why I had to stay. And all right, I'm here in Kim Purushavasa worshipping the Lord, but I'm only worshipping Him in separation. He's not giving me His mercy of association. That is my predicament. I'm not the greatest recipient of the mercy of the Lord. Think of the Pandavas. Now the Pandavas, they are getting the mercy of the Lord. The Lord personally became the chariot driver of Arjuna. Personally. He became the messenger of Yudhisthira. The Lord sometimes stood guard outside the palace. All these things the Lord did for the Pandavas. And Narada Muni, yes, the Pandavas, it's amazing. The Pandavas. And Hanuman says, yes, the Pandavas. And Narada starts to dance, the Pandavas. And Hanuman also, the Pandavas. And they're totally ecstatic, the Pandavas. And Narada says, let's go to the Pandavas. And Hanuman says, yes, let's go to the Pandavas. And then Hanuman says, no, I can't go to the Pandavas. Oh, no. I'm not going to the Pandavas. And Narada says, why not? There's such great devotees. He says, oh, no, I can't go there. These Pandavas, they are very familiar with the Lord, you know. I mean, you know, I can afford that. I'm a monkey, you know what I mean? I have to be careful. that. No. Arjuna lies on the same bed with the Lord. Oh, no way. Oh, I can't go there. No. I'll just stay here and worship my Lord Ramachandra. And Narada travels along with his Veena. Oh, So just see, yes. So amongst the Vaishnavas, it is said that like different birds are flying on different levels in the sky, different Vaishnavas are flying on different levels of realization. And accordingly, we worship. And accordingly, there's etiquette. So amongst Vaishnavas, there's worship. You know, said the mother of Brahmananda and Kakamuni. She said, you know, these boys, they worship you. You know, every time they were bowing down, you know what I mean? They were bowing down to Prabhupada. And then, so she said, these boys, they worship you. Prabhupada said, yes. And I worship my spiritual master. He said, that is our duty. That is the system. Even in the spiritual world, they worship. Someone comes to the house, they bring out the puja plate. That's us. It's like, you know, like ring, ring, who's there? Who's there? No. Come. Yeah. Wash the feet, everything. I was in South India with a Harinam party, and this lady comes out of the door with a big pot of water, and she wants to wash my feet. I go, no. This one, you know, no. Then I showed, look, I got my shoes on anyway. She didn't care. She just threw the whole pot of water over my shoes. And I realized you cannot defeat thousands of years of tradition. No chance. Yes, that even exists in the spiritual world. So we worship. We worship. This is amazing. A culture based on worship. Yes. Prabhupada told Brahmananda at the time of initiation to bow down to his mother. Right? So he did it. And she was a little flattered, but also, you know, a bit embarrassed, whatever. He said, but then Prabhupada instructed Brahmananda that whenever he would see his mother, that he would have to pay obeisances. So sometimes he would go home and ring the doorbell, and then she'd open the door, and then there was nobody because Brahmananda was on the ground. And then she'd go, oh no, you're not doing that again, is it? Spiritual culture. Culture of worship. How can we understand these things? But that is going on. We worship. We worship the Vaishnavas. Different Vaishnavas. So nice. That is our etiquette. Yes. Now it's Christmas, you know, and family members, they kiss in the sky next to cheeks and all that, you know. Oh, gosh. I had one auntie. She was older, and she had a mustache. And she would shave it. Yeah? She would shave it, yes. And we were small kids, you know. And she always wanted to kiss us. And quickly must have.
Oh, God.
I would run. And she'd be out to catch me. Oh, God. That was her favorite. Oh, gosh. Material world. Every Christmas, as I was growing up, she wanted to sit next to me. Anyway, sorry for that. She's late, so it's not a problem. I can say this, but you get caught in these family things. Oh, dear. But amongst Vaishnavas, it is different, because all the interaction is purifying, and all the interaction is elevating. Right? It's not entangling, rather it's liberating. It's very nice. And simply, it's very simple, because there's always this relationship that is clear. Junior and senior, and then one just follows that, and then everything falls into place, and everything becomes auspicious, and in that way, somehow or other, we are feeling purified each time in our dealings, and this is our desire, to become more and more pure. Even although we got some mercy from Krishna, still we want to become more purified. More. Still more. As we purify. Because no Vaishnava sees himself as pure. Others may see, oh, he's very pure. But the Vaishnava himself sees, oh, I'm not pure at all. Like Hanuman. We all see Hanuman as great, exalted, pure, amazing devotee, and Hanuman himself doesn't see himself like that. In this way.
Okay, Pujari gets one from Maitavi also.
Anyway, I'm sitting on the altar. But a mental one. There's this famous... There's a story of a famous singer named Tansin. Right. So there was this Tansin, and he was a famous singer at the time of Akbar. And he could sing. He was just such a singer. It was just incredible when he would sing. His voice was just so sweet. So Akbar passed the rule that no one in the kingdom could sing except Tansin. So, there was one famous singer in the kingdom who said that, he's the only one in the kingdom who can sing. And Akbar says, he's the best. He's undoubtedly the best. Oh, are you sure that he's the best? And Akbar said, of course he's the best. He said, well, how can you be so sure? The king said, you know someone who can sing better. Then there was a contest. And the arrangement was that contest would take place in a forest. And they went to that forest, only Akbar and only the two singers. But the contester was asking that the king would provide many garlands. So there were many garlands there also, many garlands. Anyway, Tansin began to sing. And it was just like he was singing in glorification of the Supreme Lord. And it just melted the hearts. And all the animals came out of the forest. They all came out of the forest. And they all just stood there with tears in their eyes. The deer were crying when they heard Tan sing. So Akbar looked the best. Is there any doubt that he's the best? Then the other singer began to sing. And he sang in glorification of the Lord. And when he sang, all those animals of the forest, they came and they offered obeisances to him. They came forward, they offered obeisances, and he gave each one a garland. And in this way, he offered each one a garland, and all the animals a garland that day. Then he was also allowed to sing. what to say? So it is a fact that even within the heart of every animal, there is ultimately a spirit soul who is a devotee of the Supreme Lord. And under certain circumstances, that devotion can be awakened and can be brought out. What to speak of human beings who are like animals? By the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, even one can go through that animal state of consciousness, penetrate, and purify them. One time, Jaya Dvetamaraj was giving a lecture in Amsterdam at the time of Rath Yatra, and he was systematically explaining what the qualities of an animal are. And the whole lecture, this is a public lecture on Dam Square, and he's explaining what an animal is, like for 1 hour, right? And after the lecture, one man raised his hand and he said, "Are you trying to say that we are animals?" So one can penetrate through this thick fog. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is described that the consciousness of the animal is like a mirror with dust on it. It's it is very dull. You cannot see it properly. So through the consciousness of an animal, it's like this incredible dullness is there. It's like just doesn't want to go through the thick skull. That's an animal. This dullness is there. Then a human being is described like a fire covered by smoke. And it is said that sometimes, a fire isn't always covered by the same amount of smoke. Sometimes there's lots of smoke, sometimes there's less smoke. So that's human existence, like lots of smoke and then like we're totally covered and dull and then a clear moment, a moment of clarity. Just for a moment, maybe, there is a God.
Smoke is down.
And again, going down into the animal state of consciousness. The same, basically. When the smoke is thick, it's the same like the animal situation. We can't see anything totally like thick. In England, in the 70s, there was a famous flute player named Jethro Tull. And then he found this 10-year-old boy who wrote a poem called Thick as a Brick. And then he made an album based on that, Thick as a Brick. That the consciousness of people was thick as a brick. And so when the smoke is thick, nothing goes through. That's basically what it means. But then again, there are moments of enlightenment. Again, moments when it clears up the smoke. Or there are Vaishnavas, they come. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, and the smoke clears up suddenly. Literally, the smoke clears up. What? What are you saying? Well, in some cases. Hare Krishna. I heard a story that Mahavishnu Swami, that before Krishna consciousness, he met one of his friends, became influenced by the devotees and started to chant. And then this friend was very big and he told him, you should chant Hare Krishna. He said, no, I don't want to. And then his friend forced him. And then he started chanting and he couldn't stop. He just couldn't stop. And he still has that. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, when he starts chanting, he just can't stop. Starts a kirtan, he goes all night. Mm-hmm. He just can't stop. I don't know how old he is, in his 70s, that I know, but I lost count, but 72, 73, something like that, you know? Can't stop. Just goes on, huh?
He just turned 70.
He turned 70?
A year or two ago.
Right. Thanks for that, lady. That was really master of suspense. Anyway. So, whatever. He can't stop. It just goes on. It just goes on. Kirtan. It just can't stop. An amazing quality. Captured by the holy name. So yeah, that's it. That's. And then, suddenly, then, once we start chanting the holy name, people start to chant the holy name, and they start to offer obeisances. Then we offer them garments. Like that. To worship them. Because all the Vaishnavas are worshiping them. Like that. When I was like, I moved to the temple in Vrindavan. And stayed there some time, then I got jaundice and then I got really sick. So then I went back to Europe. But then I was so sick in Europe that I just like I didn't go to the temple. I just stayed out with my family. I was just totally finished. Right? And then when I went back to the temple, I couldn't eat anything because everything was like full of ghee and fried and like, you know, halva and upa and pakoras. I couldn't eat. So then this one devotee would cook some bread for me. And I was living on that. And whenever it was finished, he would put a new tray of bread in my locker with a note, your dog servant. And it was just too much for me, you know? I go like, come on, you know, how can any human being refer to himself as a dog servant, you know? I mean, doesn't he have any sense of, like, you know, of self-esteem, you know, a dog servant? I mean, you know, there's human dignity, you know, how can anybody call himself a dog servant? This is too much, you know? And that sort of takes me back a bit earlier to the comic books. As a kid, I used to read comic books, lots of them. And then in the comic books, there was always a Chinese, you know. And the Chinese would always say something like, this lowly worm, yeah, referred to himself as a low worm. And this couldn't get it, you know. Why would they call themselves low worms? But nowadays, I can totally identify with that. Dog servant, low worm, this insignificant low worm has the audacity to keep on rambling and speaking and speaking and speaking. Now I could say such a thing and sort of feel comfortable with it. Did you ever see me as a worm? Maybe now you do. So, any questions or any
comments? You were talking about Narada Muni. In Srila Prabhupada taught the devotees the song Narada Muni Bhajaya Vina Radhika Ramana Namini. And there was a story of Srila Prabhupada. They had just opened a temple in Berry Place. And these devotees worked very hard to build a nice vyasasam for Srila Prabhupada. And when Prabhupada came, and he sat on the vyasasam, and he looked at it, and he smiled. And then after the program, he went up to his room, and then and he asked Shama Sundar to call the boy that made the vyasasam. And Srila Prabhupada said he wanted it to make two more vyasas, smaller size. And they put them beside the altar, because Srila Prabhupada said that Narada Muni and Lord Shiva, they come for the evening aarti, evening, like that. So, some things are happening we have no perception. Mm-hmm. Only the pure devotee.
Yeah, they're still next to Radha Londoneeswara, these little vyasasans. Even today, they're still there. It's really nice. Whenever you go to London, now in Soho Street, because the time moved from Berry Place to Soho Street, there you can see the little vyasasans. If I look carefully, maybe you see someone sitting on them.
The devotee says, Srila Prabhupada, what are they doing during the aarti? And Prabhupada said, they're laughing. They're laughing. They see all the yavanas and malejis jumping and chanting aarti. They're laughing.
Yeah, Kinshan Krishna does. He was Prabhupada's body. He was Prabhupada's godbrother, and who was special, who was like such a loving, ecstatic devotee, constantly chanting the holy name, and even in between words would chant Krishna, Krishna, and then even when he speak, you know, in conversation, Krishna, Krishna, and then he would just carry on Krishna and speak like that sometimes. So much chanting. Constantly chanting. So he was a close associate of Srila Prabhupada. And then one day he said, oh, to Prabhupada, he said, oh, you taught them to chant very loud. You taught them to chant very loud. All the devotees chanting like really, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Yam, Yam, chanting very loud. Prabhupada sort of smiled benevolently, and then the voice said, is it wrong? He said, oh no, it's very nice. And he was also laughing. He was also laughing. Yeah, it's something, you know. But it works. It works. Doesn't matter where one comes from. It works. combined with mercy. Lots of mercy. Lots of mercy. But somehow or another be hanging there. Chant, hanging there, and pray for lots of mercy. Lots of mercy.
The lesson today has been very much orientated around pride and the pride of the king and the pride of the singer and so on and so forth. What is it, pride is a trap that we all fall into at some point or another. What is a good method of avoiding that trap?
Yeah, it's just serving the devotees. And therefore we have this, I spoke about etiquette also.
Yes.
So that we will always respect devotees, yeah, like that, we'll always respect seniors in various ways. And so that etiquette helps. And respecting, not taking any glory for oneself, giving all the glory to others. So like, you know, if we've done it, right, then we say, oh, well, so many people did it together, you know, it's like, it's the work of many people. It's not like that I did this, you know, work of many. Yeah. We downplay our own glory, but if someone else did it, it's, oh, you know, that was amazing, that was really wonderful what he did, amazing. It's like, you know. Like this, so that never take glory for ourselves. That's another important matter of etiquette. Not easy, but something to practice. But as you say, this yeah, that was also my point, that the pride is so deep, okay, that it may still a little bit may remain, it may emerge again, and therefore this etiquette is our protection. And our constant purification. So we worship. We worship. We always look to worship.
So we release our pride when we worship and we perform the correct performance of etiquette.
Yes.
You were mentioning about one devotee was serving you, like your dog.
And he was far senior, he was very senior.
So, like, sometimes, you know, how to distinguish between, like... How to distinguish between, you know, real humility. Like, sometimes we have feelings of, you know, we tend to not doing some things out of feeling that, you know, I'm not capable or even we have capacity. But we... so how to identify whether it is really out of humility or, like, we have, you know, it is, like, underestimating ourselves, like, you know? How to, you know, distinguish between that?
In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are three verses in spoken by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And he's saying, in the first one, he's saying, I'm lower than a worm in stool. In the second one, he's saying, I am so sinful, anyone who associates with me loses all his pious credits. Huh? And then, so these two verses are very famous and very known. But there is a third verse, which is not so much known, but which is actually the essence of the whole thing. Because the third one, the third verse is, but how amazing it is that one fallen as I has received the mercy of Lord Nityananda. So we can see ourselves as very fallen, but we live in the mercy of Lord Nityananda, of Prabhupada, his representative. In this way, if we are under the shelter of Prabhupada and we live in that mercy of Prabhupada, follow what Prabhupada says, then we can say it. I am the most fallen without getting depressed. Yeah. Yeah. Otherwise, if we don't have that element, I got the mercy from Krishna, then I am useless. I can't do anything right. I'm totally like helpless case. You know what I'm saying? I'm the most fallen, I'm the most miserable creature on the entire planet, trying to become a Vaishnava. You know, if you practice this all the time, it could happen that you start looking for a bridge, you know, at one point, or a tower, or something, you know, something to jump off. But if you remember that we got the mercy of the Lord or of his devotee, then we are at the same time, we're fallen, but how amazing is the mercy of the Lord? And that's the combination. That is Dainya Bodhika. See, this kind of consciousness is known as Dainya Bodhika. And Dainya Bodhika always has this element in it, that we appreciate that although we are the most fallen, I got the mercy of the Lord. That's how it works.
I just don't remember.
But he confirmed it. I cannot verbatim remember how he said it. But he confirmed it in such a way, I have to ask him one day, or you ask him when he comes here. You just ask him. Right? What did you say? But I remember that the man was totally satisfied with being exposed as an animal. Yeah, after that.
But at the same time, you know, the etiquette is to kind of go to the most senior devotee and ask them first to do something. And, you know, so like young devotees may be eager and then they're getting frustrated. And they don't know how to deal with the situation because they're feeling, okay, they have to observe the etiquette, but they also want to do a service.
I don't know if it's the etiquette to go to the senior most devotee. The senior devotee is respected, but it doesn't mean that they should do all the service or should get all the service. The service should be distributed widely to all, and even and especially new people should always be given service. They should be given preference in given service. Okay? Not in giving honor and respect. In giving honor and respect, the senior devotees are first, but in giving service, we especially must give the new people service, otherwise they might drift away. So that's a principle. We give service to all, and especially to the new people, but respect and honor we give to the seniors. And we offer our service to them, that's another matter. You know, our service we offer to them, that's another matter. But we especially offer service to the new people so that they can connect with Krishna. You see the difference between service and honor and respect. Honor and respect always for the seniors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Not much is holding. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada.